Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide, episode 91. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. This is the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. My name is Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, we're going to talk about Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference, which will kick off on June 2nd. Microsoft has a new digital assistant for Windows phones. And we're going to chat about the new tech arena at the Royal Easter Show that I'm actually quite involved with. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to check out a new wearable device that may prove to be a lifesaver and how you can add a numerical keyboard to your laptop. In the Tech Guide interview, we're going to chat with David Glickman about Lively, a new system that can be used to discreetly monitor the elderly even in their own home. In this week's Tech Guide Help Desk, we're going to also find out about how you can affordably stay connected to data on your international travels. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to get through, so let's jump straight in. Well, it was only just a few days ago where Apple announced the start date for their annual Worldwide Developers Conference in San Francisco, and that date is June the 2nd. It's going to run from June 2 through to June 6. It takes place at the Moscone Center, and being called the Developers Conference, of course, it's going to be attended by developers from around the world. Now, tickets go on sale this week, and they if they're like any other year, they'll be sold out within minutes. We're talking thousands of tickets sold out for the whole 5-day duration, sold out within minutes. Now, this is a conference that Apple, it's obviously their own conference, and thousands of their own engineers attend these sessions. So they talk about, obviously, the very latest operating systems for iOS, for the iPhone and iPad, and the OS X, which is for the Mac. So developers get a front row seat, a first look at the latest developments with these operating systems, so they can take that away and help themselves create apps and applications that run on Apple's devices. So it's a sort of conference that a lot of information is given out by Apple. It's one of those rare occasions where we're waiting to see what they have to announce. In this case, obviously, the focus is going to be on software in terms of the new iOS. I think we're up to iOS 8 this year and OS 10. I think we're up to OS 10.9. So what we're going to see are the very latest versions of those respective softwares, the new features, and what that means for users and how developers can then utilize these new features into their very latest apps. But the WWDC, as it's often called, is also a venue for the announcement of some hardware. And in the past, we've seen iPhones. I've attended several of the Worldwide Developers Conferences in San Francisco and seen various products from iPhones through to new MacBook Pros announced at this event. So there is a thought that there could possibly be a hardware announcement at this event, which kicks off on June the 2nd. There has been years where, I think 2009, they announced the iPhone 3GS. 2010, they announced the iPhone 4. The iPhone 4, that was the year where it did end up in the wrong hands, let's just say, and was revealed by Gizmodo in the US. So the iPhone 4 was kind of, the cat was sort of let out of the bag before Steve Jobs had a chance to talk about it at the Worldwide Developers Conference that year. In other years, as I mentioned, the very first MacBook Pro with Retina display was unveiled, I think, at the 2012 Worldwide Developers Conference. So who knows what is going to be up Apple's sleeve. Tim Cook normally kicks off proceedings with a keynote, normally an update on where the company has been, what they've been doing the last few months, before they turn their attention then to the new iOS and OS X software, and of course the iPhones, iPads, and Macs that run that software as well. It's an exciting time. It's coming up in less than a couple of months, and we'll be keeping a close eye out on these announcements. There's several rumors on the hardware side about an iWatch, larger screen iPhones, a larger screen iPad possibly as well, a Retina display on the MacBook Air, which is also pretty likely. So, yeah, we're going to be keeping our ears peeled. Hopefully we're going to be in San Francisco for this event to give you all the latest news there live. But in the meantime, let the rumors continue, and we can only count down to June 2nd.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
Now, it was only last week where Microsoft announced they announced a new Windows Phone 8.1. So with that announcement came news that the new Windows Phone, the new version of Windows Phone, is going to have a new digital assistant. Now, a digital assistant that we already know of is, of course, Siri, which is found on the iPhone. This is going to be Microsoft's very own version of Siri on their Windows Phone devices. Now, with that Windows Phone 8.1 update, which is going to be rolled out in a few months, is going to be a new feature called Cortana. That's the name for their digital assistant, and that name is actually derived from the very popular, hugely successful Microsoft game for the Xbox 360, Halo. That was the actual character in Halo that gave Master Chief some clues whenever he needed it. So they're going to take that name, that character, and transform that into the digital assistant for your Windows Phone. Now, the Cortana on your screen will be represented by a spinning blue circle, similar way that it was seen in the Halo games as well. And like Siri, you can ask it various questions. You can ask it to do web searches, set calendar dates, reminders. You can ask it questions, and obviously it'll use things like Bing, which is Microsoft's very own search engine, to find the answers. So look out for Windows Phone 8.1 for the new feature there. That's also going to be joined by a new feature called Action Center, which is a pull-down notification center. So you sweep down from the top of the screen to give you a sort of top-down view of your day, what's going on, updates, calendar entries, messages. Pretty similar to what we've seen already on Android and also, of course, on the iPhone. Siri, of course, is what people are going to be comparing Cortana to when it does come out. But Windows Phone continues to improve. We're seeing a bit more support there for the platform, and a Windows Phone 8.1 promises to be quite an interesting update, and of course Cortana comes with it. So keep an eye out for that. They haven't specified, Microsoft have not specified a date for the release of that update, but they have just said it will be in the coming month. So we're going to have to keep an eye out on that. If you want to read more about that, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Well, this week is the start of the Royal Easter Show, and for the very first time, the Easter Show has a brand new arena, a brand new pavilion. It's called the Tech Arena. Now, the reason I'm talking about this, apart from it being tech-related, is the fact that I'm actually involved with the Tech Arena this year. It's the first time they've actually included the Tech Arena at the Royal Easter Show out at Homebush in Sydney. And it's going to include, it's going to be like a mini tech show where there'll be some companies displaying with stands, displaying their latest devices, latest gadgets to allow attendees to get their hands on these new products. There'll be a lot of people in attendance. It's going to take place during the school holiday, so there'll be plenty of time for young and old to attend the show. And I'll be hosting the Tech Arena demonstration stage, and I'll actually be giving 4 presentations per day. It's sort of the Let's Talk Tech sessions, we're calling them. The 4 sessions will be, they'll take place at 10, 12, 2 and 4 p.m. The 4 shows will be the shape of things to come. So we're looking into the future, what we're going to see this year and beyond in terms of products, in terms of wearables and smartwatches and smart appliances. Moving on, we're going to have a separate session on smartphones, the rapid growth of smartphones, adoption of smartphones, and also the rise of the apps, the use of apps, and also a few things that you didn't realize your smartphone can do. We're also going to have a session about tech tips and tricks to give users an idea of how to utilize their products even further, to show them a thing or two about their devices that which they might not have realized is possible on their device. And lastly, of course, it's the Royal Agricultural Show for starters. So there is another presentation I'll be giving about the farm of the 21st century. And boy, is there plenty of technology now being used down on the farm. Your traditional view of the farm couldn't be further from the truth of this 21st century version. So if you're down there, I'd love for you to come down and have a listen. Come and say good day. If you're a listener of the Tech Guide podcast, I'd love you to come and say hello and tell me that you do listen to the podcast. That's the reason why we record it every week, so that we can give you, the listener, the very latest tech news and reviews. And hopefully you can get out to the show, have a listen to my demonstrations. They're going to be interactive presentations, I should say. We're going to use some new technology out there too, so you can actually take part in the presentation. If you want to find out more, you're going to have to get out to the Royal Easter Show. Kicks off this Thursday, April 10, runs through till April 23, and I'll be out there every day presenting at 10, 12, 2 and 4. So if you're out there, if you're at the Royal Easter Show, please come across and say hello. I'd love to meet you.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. The very latest product from Netgear is the AC750 Wi-Fi range extender. You can give your home a Wi-Fi boost with Netgear's new Wi-Fi range extender, the EX6100. You can optimize your existing Wi-Fi network and extend it to hard-to-reach places throughout your home. The EX6100 delivers fast Wi-Fi speed and connectivity for smartphones, tablets, laptops and more, allowing you to enjoy your favorite entertainment throughout your home. In a convenient wall plug design, this extender has 2 Wi-Fi modes, so you can use it as an extender to boost an existing Wi-Fi network, or flick to access point to create a new AC Wi-Fi access point in your home or office. The EX6100 AC750 Wi-Fi range extender from Netgear is available now, and you can read more about it at netgear.com.au.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick. Tech Guide.
Now, there's been a lot of talk this year already about wearable devices. We've seen smartwatches, we've seen activity trackers, all kinds of things that you can wear on your person to gather data, to gather information, track your sleep, your calories, all sorts of things. And they're very, very popular, as I've mentioned. But there is a new wearable device that has been released. Now, this is a product that's come out of India. Now, this has been created by an entrepreneur over there. It's a wearable device called Spot and Save. And rather than it being something to track your activity and sleep, this band is actually designed to improve your personal security. Now, this is a Bluetooth-enabled device, so you wear it like a wristband, and it links to your smartphone. So via Bluetooth, you can wirelessly pair the device, and it offers then real-time tracking of your location to up to 5 friends or family members. Now, what is included with the Spot and Save is an SOS button. So there may be an occasion for you, if you're not feeling very safe, you can actually send an SOS, and one of your guardians, let's call them, will get a text message with your precise location. And it will allow them to navigate, give you turn-by-turn navigation to find your exact location. So great for several uses here. So not only for, say, women who may not feel safe in some neighbourhoods, they might need to walk through dark places or parks or things like that late at night. Could even be used for parents to give to their child if they want to keep track of where their child is at all times. Even handy for elderly people who may hit the SOS button if they maybe have a fall or needed some sort of assistance or emergency in their home. So interesting technology here, and developed, as I said, out of India by an entrepreneur who actually contacted me personally, emailed me and told me about this new product, which had already seen some coverage in some US websites. And I decided to take a look at the product and see how it works. And I've written a story on Tech Guide, and it is a handy device for personal safety is something that we really can't take for granted. And if you've got children, you might want to give one to your wife, your girlfriend, you want them to feel safe as well. So it gives them a little bit of peace of mind knowing that they have this wearable device, this Spot and Save security bracelet that will allow them to be tracked if they wanted to in real time. It allows them to upload their location if they hit their SOS button. The device has got a rechargeable battery on board, lasts for up to 18 hours. And it does, if you do run out of charge, by the way, so if you forget to charge the bracelet, it can send its last known location before it runs out of charge. There are no monthly subscription costs, so once you buy the product, all you need to do is pair it to your smartphone, and it will work as described. So there's no need for any subscription fees, monthly fees to use this service. It uses the GPS radios in your smartphone, and it uses a free companion app as well. So the Spot and Save won't cost you any more than what you pay for it. Speaking of the price, it's $37.99 US, and you need to include $10 US for shipping to any location in the world. And you can buy it directly from the Spot and Save website. I've written about it on Tech Guide, and I've also included the link if you want to find out more. There's also an explanation video, so you can get a little bit more in-depth explanation on how it works. And as I said, the link is there if you're keen to order it yourself. You can read more about that at techguide.com.au. Now, I'm sure there's many people listening to this podcast right now that own laptops. Many laptop users around the world are faced with the same frustration. Now, if you're working with numbers, if you need to make calculations, if you need to, type in a lot of numbers at the same time, you've got maybe an Excel spreadsheet, or you're working with numbers a lot, a laptop keyboard isn't very conducive to that activity. The reason for that is that the numbers are in one row across the top of your laptop. Unlike your desktop keyboard, which has the numerical keypad on the right-hand side of it. Obviously the desktop keyboard is a lot larger than a laptop keyboard, and it has that room to include the numerical keypad. Now, what if you're in the situation where you own a laptop and you want a numerical keypad? Well, a brand new product has just been released. It's from LMP. It's called the Next Gen Keypad, and it looks like a calculator, and it can pair wirelessly to your laptop. So you can add that numerical keyboard so it can sit beside your laptop, either left or right, depending on how you want to use it. And it will then allow you to make those calculations and those entries, those keystrokes will be registered on board the laptop because of its Bluetooth connectivity. So really handy. It's powered by two AAA batteries. There are a couple of modes as well, so it can be used in calculator mode as well as in normal keypad mode. And it's priced at $79.95, available at JB Hi-Fi stores, but it is it's pretty small. It's got a sort of that brushed aluminium silver look of a Mac keyboard. and has the full numerical keyboard layout. So four rows of numerical keys, plus the enter, plus, minus, multiplication, allows you to clear, obviously, all the functionality of your calculator there as well. But if you've got your laptop and you need to make your calculations, it's become a lot easier now with the LMP Next Gen keypad. Priced only at $79.95 at JB Hi-Fi. If you want to read more about it and see what it actually looks like, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide now. Tech Guide interview.
Tech Guide.
Our Tech Guide interview is with an entrepreneur named David Glickman, who's one of three developers, startup entrepreneurs, let's call them, who've come up with an idea, a brand new idea called Lively. Now, they had the idea here to trying to find a way to monitor, to keep an eye on elderly family friends. So elderly relatives, parents, grandparents, without it compromising their independence or invading their privacy. So Lively is made up of a central hub. It has its own connection, so it's got a SIM card built in, so it's got 3G cellular connectivity, because the chances are the elderly parent or grandparent may not have the internet at home, so that's one less pain point for the product there. It's simply plug it in the wall, it's got its own SIM card and can connect to the outside world using that internal SIM card. It also comes with 6 activity trackers. So what happens is these little sensors can be placed around the home. Say one on the fridge door, one on a keychain, one on a pillbox, one on the fridge door. So various places where these sensors can be located, so that information is then relayed back to the hub, to the Lively hub, so it can be monitored. So you can check normal routines are being kept. So the fridge has been opened the same number of times as it is every day. The pillbox is being used the same number of times. There's movement, there's activity, and it's pretty discreet. There are no cameras, so there's no compromise or invasion of privacy, so they're not being watched. There's no cameras placed around the home. And the beauty of it is it allows people to remotely monitor the activity of the elderly people while they're still living in their own home. So rather than moving them to a facility, they can still stay comfortably in their own place, and then outsiders, so the friends or family who've installed Lively, can then monitor the information from those trackers through a website or through a smartphone or tablet, a free app, iOS or Android app. So the reports can be sent directly to your device. You can set up notifications either through push notifications or emails, and you can check to see how your loved ones are doing. We decided to get David Glickman on the line to tell us a little bit more about it, and here's what he had to say earlier. Well, hi David, thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about your new technology solution called Lively. I understand you've just returned from the US from Australia, and you were speaking about your new product, which can really revolutionize the home, especially in terms of looking after our elderly parents and relatives.
That's exactly right. Well, first off, Stephen, thanks so much for having me on the program. Excited to chat with you a bit. And you hit it exactly right. Our core mission and kind of passion as a company is we wanted to develop solutions that would help elders remain in their own home for as long as possible. And this is truly a worldwide phenomenon, which is pretty much any country or culture you go into, there is this increasing trend for elders to want to live in their own home as long as possible. And that's sure. Partly because of advances in medicine and just overall feelings of independence. And so we at Lively created a very simple system for our elders to be able to, using connected devices and kind of the Internet of Things technologies, to be able to share a little bit about their daily living okay. patterns with loved ones and care providers.
Sure. So first of all, tell us how it works, and then later on we'll chat about how you came up with the idea. So how does someone set up Lively for their elderly relatives or loved ones?
It's really simple. So the product is basically a hub or a base station that you plug into the wall in the home of your loved one. It does not require any internet connectivity because it has a built-in cellular data connection. And so as soon as you plug it in, the lights just start blinking and then they go solid and you have connectivity and you're ready to go. And then the next step is there are 6 sensors, and they're small. They're about the size of a probably about a 20-cent piece in Australia, mm-hmm. and they are put on different objects in the home, and it comes with six of these. There are two for the pill box or medication dispenser that one might have in their home, and so that can go on up to two different medication dispensers. There are two for the kitchen. One goes on the refrigerator, and then one goes on one other object in the kitchen, for instance, a microwave door or sometimes the top of a teapot, and anything that our elders might use in the kitchen that would indicate activity around food and drink.
Sure. So the whole idea of this is for us to track that the user is taking their pills, is eating, is moving about the house. That's the basis of the system, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And it's done and designed in a way so that it's not too intrusive. So that's what we found when we started looking in this space, is we found that products were pretty expensive, first of all, hard to set up, required internet access, which if you think about those in their 80s and 90s, don't often have it. Mm-hmm. But probably the worst situation really was that they were way too intrusive. So many of the systems had a video camera, or they have a motion sensor that senses the motion of a person actually walking in and out of a room. And the problem with that is, no matter what age you are, you feel like that's too intrusive. And that's exactly what happened for many elders. As I said, I don't want a video camera in my home. That's too much information.
Sure.
But if we come along with a solution that just simply says, hey, mom, I just want to know that you're being active in the kitchen, or that you took your medication generally when you were supposed to, so that if you didn't do one of those things,
yeah.
A, the system can remind the elder if they so want, or B, it can notify a family member or a caregiver and say, hey, you might want to check in on mom because we noticed that she hasn't been active in the kitchen this morning, uh-huh. or she might have missed when she's supposed to take her medication. But there's no video cameras. We don't know exactly what she's eating. Sure. Nothing that's too intrusive.
Sure thing. So tell us, David, where did this idea come from? How did you think of this, and how did you then create the product that we know today?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, back in the very beginning of 2012, myself and two of my co-founders, the three of us, myself, Iggy Fanlow, and Keith Dutton, started thinking about this space. And in particular, Iggy had some initial thoughts around and I talked about this a little bit earlier, around the current solutions that were out there. We all are in our 40s and 50s and, you know, are starting to care for or already caring for our loved ones, be it mainly our parents and in some cases grandparents, and really felt like we wanted to be super supportive of their independence and wanting to live alone. But when we, as a family, started to get more and more concerned about their well-being, we wanted some system that, again, wasn't too intrusive, but that could help us make sure that they were doing okay living on their own. And when we looked at things, they were ugly, frankly,
yes.
As we talked about before, too intrusive and quite expensive. And that was one part of it. Then the other part is we're based in Silicon Valley in California, and the three of us have been a part of startups before. I actually used to work at Apple and did hardware as well. And so we really felt like the emergence of connected home and Internet of Thing type devices, nobody was really paying attention to this very, very large community of aging in place.
Sure thing. And so the system, once it's installed, then it can be monitored on I'm assuming on a tablet or a smartphone app, is that right?
That's exactly right. So family members and caregivers and whoever the elder gives access to can look at a very simple dashboard that's a simple metaphor of faces. So if the face is green, everything's okay. And they can do that on an iPhone, an Android device, or any tablet, and obviously on a computer.
No worries. And there's no real nothing's going to stop a person using this system to maybe monitor family members, children, because I guess parents having to monitor their kids as well to perform certain chores and certain tasks, there's nothing really to stop a parent using this, is there?
No, I mean, there really isn't. You know, we've already heard some interesting stories. Probably the most, in a way, touching one is adults who are caring for their adult children. So meaning oftentimes adult children with some sort of disability or learning challenge, so that they're trying to live independently, sometimes in their 20s and 30s, and their parents have great concern. That's definitely an area where we see people using Lively. But even for more regular things, that as you're alluding to, that's a possibility as well. People can use Lively in different ways. It's partly why we named the company the way we did. One, we like the positive, uplifting feeling about the name, but also it can be used for more things beyond just elders. Although that is our focus and our key communication area right now.
And I understand, so you've partnered in Australia with Hills, is that right? Hills Limited, to bring it to Australian homes?
That's right. And to Hills' credit, I mean, they found us. As everyone, I'm guessing your listeners know, Hills invented the Hills hoist in the 40s. And really, if you think about what they did, they created a wonderfully practical solution for the home. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to today, and under their a relatively new leadership team, they're really looking at, well, how do we be even more present and more helpful in the home? And in particular, they were very interested and are interested in bringing the connected home into the homes of Australians, if you will. And so they came to Silicon Valley, and we met in 2013, last year, through IDEO, which is a pretty well-known design firm around the world that we are friendly with as well. And they kind of fell in love with what we were doing. They really felt like it builds on, as many of your listeners might know, Hills is recognized in Australia as the number one iconic and trusted brand. And this whole idea of trust as a way to kick off this effort to bring various connected home products to the Australian market, they were excited to have Lively kick that off. So we're the first of what we all hope are many products that the Hills team will bring to Australia. And to their credit also, we loved how fast they moved. You know, we met pretty quick. We're a startup. We like to move quickly and get into markets quickly. And Australia being the first international market that we have gone to after the United States.
No worries. Well, Australians, we love our technology. We're not scared to adopt technology early. Great to talk to you today, David. Appreciate your time and good luck with Lively.
Thank you so much, Stephen. Appreciate the time as well.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Our Tech Guide Help Desk topic this week is an important one. Now, I get asked very often about people traveling overseas and what they should do with their data, whether they need to buy a SIM card when they get there, how much data do they need to pay for, do they use their own SIM card and possibly come home to a large bill. It's all pretty hard. It's a bit of a worry for travelers who should be looking forward to their travel rather than the pain involved in getting them connected when they get there. Well, Global Gig is a company who can offer an affordable and simple solution for your data needs when you travel. What they can provide is a prepaid plan to give you 1, 3, or 5 gigabytes of data, priced at $9, $19, or $29, respectively, for the 1, 3, or 5 gig allowance. And what it does, it allows you then to roam on these overseas networks without having to change a SIM card. Say you're going on a trip through Europe, you don't want to change a SIM card every time you cross a border. Well, Global Gig allows you to, on your travels, retain the same SIM card, and it's all coming out of the same prepaid plan, so you're not having to constantly worry about, well, am I going to be charging more data here, there? So it's a pretty simple solution that can work here in Australia. So if you're traveling around Australia, then you're suddenly over in the US or the UK or Europe, there are solutions for this using Global Gig. Now, at the moment, Global Gig works without any additional data charges, so nothing on top of your $9, $19, or $29 a month in Australia, the US, UK, and Ireland. But there are a number of countries where you may be traveling across Europe, for example. There are some countries where you do pay 10 cents per megabyte that you use. So if you maybe have been in the UK and you decide to duck over to France, then in France you're going to be charged an extra 10 cents a meg until you go back to the UK or the US or Ireland, where then you'll resume your normal data allowance. If you head over to other countries, say Malta or New Zealand, Greece, Croatia, these other countries incur 20 cents per meg, but only for the data that you use. So you've still got the same SIM card on board, you're using the same account, but you'll be able to use it across this whole network. Now, what Global Gig has done, they're a mobile virtual network operator that's set up all these wholesale deals around the world so that wherever you roam, there is going to be a network for you to roam with. There's a deal in place, and you're not going to be charged an arm and a leg. How many people have used their own SIM cards to use data overseas and come home to bills that were, frankly, thousands of dollars and cost them almost as much as their holiday? So Global Gig, definitely worth checking out. I've written a story about them at techguide.com.au. There's a list of all those participating countries and all the costs. You can get different size SIM cards and all that information. You can find that at techguide.com.au. And that's our show for this week. You can read more about anything we've talked about on the show at techguide.com.au. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been terrific having your company. We hope you can join us again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.